And everybody said,
amen.
Good amen. Headquarters, amen. God bless you. Don't sit down yet. You see, on Tuesdays when we come, all these empty spaces, we need to fill them up. Our leaders are there, and it's the development of leaders. If we cannot influence the people inside, those already workers, already leaders, how can we influence the people outside who are not even born again? So let's make concerted effort that will tell our brethren who are supposed to be here on Saturday for workers' meeting, training, and also on Tuesday for the leadership development, so that we can have the training that we ought to have, and we'll do more than we have ever done in Jesus' name. We're talking, the moderator, preacher, pastor, prayer warrior was talking on old time Bagada, that the field, this place, and the field outside. But you know why? The workers and the leaders were on fire. They were not just waiting for church bus and church transportation to bring them. Why didn't you come? The vehicle, I miss the vehicle. They tried. I listened to a message recently in our Tuesday or Wednesday workers meeting. And that message, only one life. And it will soon be gone. That was the song that came after that message. And I was saying there, thank God that, you know, we could come today. That day, there was no transportation. Fuel was not available. That was not available. But the people, they still came. And some walked, some ran. That's the reason why the revival was there at Bagada that time. That time will come back. So that we ourselves, our leaders, our workers, full-time workers, part-time workers, volunteer workers, everybody will have the fire and the fervency, and we drive. And then your vehicle, you come with empty vehicle, look for people around you and bring them along. This time is a new time, a revival time. And so, and when I say this, you know, in those days, if I said anything to the church, and I said, this is the vision, this is the goal, let's do this, the following meeting, I find the response, the people have responded. They have filled all the places and they have done what I said they should do. And when I go to the state as well, and because they accept me, they don't just call me Father in the Lord or General Superintendent. They actually believe that whatever I said, the Lord sent me, and he responded immediately. And so, we want that same time of response to come back. And if I correct anything on the church, the church should respond and be obedient to what I'm correcting, rather than using this and using that to react. Reaction is not of God. Response is the will of God. And we're going to respond. Whatever I correct, whatever I say, I want the church to get back to where we were, and nobody could confront us, no evil power, because we're responding well to the word of God. And I pray here, headquarters, all the states, all the regions, everywhere, the Spirit of God will come afresh upon everyone in Jesus' name. Another amen.
Amen.
Over there, don't give me a reaction. Give me a response. You see me face to face, And then you are reacting the way you normally do. Understand, the word of the prophet will be confirmed. So be very, very careful that you are not here to contradict what I say. I'm appointed of God, and when I talk, I talk in the office of the prophet, the office of the pastor, and our ushers and security people should be very vigilant that you don't allow indiscipline in our church. That while I'm talking, there's somebody reacting the normal way they do. I will not accept that. And understand, I stand as a prophet. And when I speak, I know what I'm saying. Be very careful. We're going to stand on the word of God and abide in the word of God in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and bless your name and glorify you. We thank you because you brought us together so you can do good in our heart and do good in our life. And we too will go to the rest of the world and then we'll do good in Jesus' name. You've called us, and Lord, we respond to your calling, and we're asking that you help us, that we'll bear fruit in our calling in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. God has blessed you. You can sit down. Tonight, we're coming to Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, it's a long passage. We're reading to start with verses 8 to 11. Look at Luke chapter 5, and I'm reading from verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Look at verse 9. In verse 9, "For he was astonished and surprised, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." In verse 10 it says, "And so was also James and John, and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men." And then in verse 11, it says, "And when they had brought their sheaves to land, they forsook all and followed him." They forsook all and followed him. Tonight, we're talking about the calling of Christ. The topic is Christ's call to faithfully and fully follow him. Christ's call to faithfully and fully follow him. Three things we're looking at in the message tonight. Number one, Christ's compelling call to Simon Peter and all sinful people. Number two, Christ's confirmed choice of Simon Peter and all subsequent preachers. Number three, Christ's comprehensive commission for Simon Peter and all his saved, sanctified people. Let's come to number one. Number one, Christ's compelling call to Simon Peter and all sinful people. He had called Simon Peter. And in some verses in the chapter, look at chapter 5, reading from verse 27. In chapter 5, verse 27, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi," that's Matthew, "sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. He also called Matthew. That's how he called all those apostles, all those disciples. And what interests us, and what inspires us, and what makes us feel that we can do the same thing today is that immediately he called them. It was a compelling call. They couldn't resist the call. They rose up and they went forth and they followed him. Look at three things here in the compelling call. Number one, his constant call to repentance and salvation. It's not calling anyone to entertainment. It's not calling anyone to religion. It's not calling anyone to tradition. It's calling everyone and calling us. It's calling everyone to repentance and salvation. Number two, the creative conversion to righteousness and sonship. When the people come unto him, as he expected they will come, this is what really happened with them, that they had righteousness in their lives. They did, okay, I'm following Christ, I'm following the Lord, and it's going living the way they were living before. No, a creative change, a creative transformation happening in their lives. When you effectually come to the Lord, there is a change and there is a transformation in your life. It's not like, okay, I'm called, I'm following him. Smokers, I see smoking, and drunkards, I see drinking, and womanizers, I see womanizing, and all those things are still happening. A change comes, a transformation comes when you respond to the call of the Lord. It's creative conversion to righteousness and sonship. Number three is the compelling consecration, that they leave everything, they surrender everything, they forgo everything. And this is a compelling consecration to the responsibility of soul winning. Let's look at number one there. Number one, the constant call to repentance and salvation. It tells us in Luke chapter 5, reading from verse 31. Luke chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He gives us the interpretation of what he said in verse 32. In verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, the traditionally righteous, the religious one. I came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he still does today. He calls sinners to repentance. In Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then in verse 15, here is what he preached, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. It tells us in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Luke chapter 13, looking at verse 3. It says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Have you seen, the attitude of Christ and the preaching of Christ and the firmness of Christ and the truthfulness of Christ? He didn't say, well, there are other churches, there are other ministers, there are other preachers, there are other people who are rising up, and if I tell them repent, 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 they might go to other places where all they have is dancing and drumming and religion, and they say this is to attract the people. It wasn't attracting anybody to religion. It wasn't attracting anybody to all these psychedelic services. He wanted them to understand, except a person repented, he would perish. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, it tells us, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Luke chapter 24, reading from verse 47, Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. That's what he has told us to do, among all nations. And the challenge and the temptation for us as leaders, as preachers, as pastors, as sectional leaders over the people of God, is to say that, you know, a church is springing up there near our church, another one is springing up there near our church, and they are inviting the people, they are even giving them money, they are giving them this and that. And if we don't subpedal, if we don't water down the message, if we keep on talking of repentance, change of life, conversion, and becoming a new creature and leading the righteous life, if we keep on emphasizing that, all these other churches, all these other fellowships will steal our members. No, they are not our members if they can be stolen. If they can go from repentance to all the watered down declarations among us, then it means that they were not really born again, and they're not serious about being born again. And so we don't need to water down anything. Christ has given us the message, and he has said in all nations that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, and we stand to earnestly defend and contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And when you preach in the power of the Spirit of God, when you preach in the authority of the name of Christ, and you preach the word he has given you without any compromise, the people who are supposed to be here, they will come. They'll be converted, and their lives will become totally different. We don't want to join the religious preacher, religious crowd, saying the same thing they have always been saying. That is what marked us out at the beginning of this deeper life. All the various fellowships and Bible study locations had watered down everything. And in Lagos here, eternal security was ripe. And I need to tell you, when I came, just before I came to UNILAG to be a student there to do my postgraduate, I was invited by the Christian fellowship there. And it gave me the topic, the Christian and the world. And what could I do? And I gave the word as it is in the Bible. Immediately, I finished the message. And those who are old enough, and they were there at that time, if they hear me now, they understand, they say yes. Immediately, I finished, somebody came up and took the microphone and said, everybody wait. We don't accept that. We will not follow that. And I remember another brother, I see him now, I know his name. He went to grab him. He said, don't worry, none of us, we don't believe all that. That anybody can so repent and become a real child of God and be totally transformed. We don't believe. But let him go before we talk to our people. And that's how it was. A few months later, I then came to UNILAG as a student, studying, mass education. And somebody was to come and preach in that same fellowship. And I was there because I knew the brother coming. And so I went there to sit down so I could listen to him. And the brother did not come. That time there was no cell phone to say, I will not come, and this is the reason why I will not come. And we were waiting and waiting. They were singing. And then the leader of the Christian Union there came to me and said, brother, the preacher is not here. Can you please, in 5-10 minutes, give us the word? I said, that's all right. I never rejected any opportunity. I knew they shouted me down. A few more said, when I came the other time, and they took the microphone and they said, we don't accept that. But now they called me, they said, speak. And I got up and I spoke. What did I say? 5 minutes, 10 minutes opportunity that they gave me. There wasn't much time to prepare, but the word was inside, and I was ready to pour it out. And so I preached. The following day, it was a three-day revival at the Christian Union. Then he didn't come, and he called me again, and I preached. And then they called me again the third day, and I delivered the word as I knew how. And then they asked me, they said, please, you are not an officer in the Christian Union, but we need this word. And I said, okay, every Saturday we'll get together and do what we call digging deep. Saturday, 10 p.m., all those who are interested, it wasn't compulsory, but the people were coming and coming. The part life had not started, and I gave the word in that digging deep. I didn't say, okay, they don't believe this, they don't believe that. If I emphasize this, emphasize that, they will not come. I left that to God. And then the following year, I became a lecturer there, and now we started Deeper Christian Life Ministry. And it was from there, preaching the word and emphasizing, except a man repent, he will not see the kingdom of God. And by the grace of God, for more than 50 years now, I've been preaching the same thing. And that's how you came. And I've handed it over to your life. And you will go and tell and teach other people. Like they came when I was over there, they will come now as you are over there. We're looking at number two here. Number two, we're looking at his creative conversion to righteousness and sonship. When we come to him, he calls us, and then he converts us. He changes us. He makes our lives totally different. And we're looking at Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 20. In Luke chapter 10, reading from verse 20, it says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. There are some theologians that will say, you know, people were not converted at that time when Christ was on earth. Only after he died on the cross, only after he rose from the dead, were they converted. That's wrong. Even in the Old Testament, before Christ came, the power of God, the promise of God, the provision of God was to make them to be converted. Return to me, the joy of thy salvation, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. That's Old Testament. In the New Testament now, it says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Acts of the Apostle chapter 3 verse 19. In Acts chapter 3 verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. That's the essential thing. And that is the indispensable thing, conversion. Repent ye therefore and be converted. And of course, if we are going to preach conversion, we ourselves must have been converted. If we are going to preach repentance, we ourselves should have thoroughly, totally, earnestly, completely repented of all our sins. You see, who is still drinking in sin and foaming out sin, a sinner who is swimming in the ocean of sinfulness, cannot go and preach repentance to other people. A person who has not been converted, his life has not been changed, his life has not been transformed, he cannot go and preach conversion to other people. But look at Peter talking to the people. He had repented, he had been converted, his life had been transformed. Therefore, he could say, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In James chapter 5, reading from verse 19. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you, a brother, if any of you, a sister, if any of you, a member of the local assembly, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, a backslider, is being in the Lord before, any of you, and now he errs from the truth. He goes back into falsehood. He goes back into false doctrine. He goes back into sin. As we approach him, as we approach her, she's no more a brother. She's no more a sister. Whatever her name, whatever her position, whatever her head knowledge was in character, in behavior, in lifestyle, she has heard from the truth. He has heard from the truth. What gone away from the truth? He needs conversion. She needs conversion. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. In verse 20, it says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner, he was one of us, born again, child of God, brother, sister, any of you. But now, when he erred from the truth, when she erred from the truth, she became a sinner. And we approach him that way, and we approach her that way, and one converts him, the sinner, from the error of his way. He shall save the soul from death, spiritual death, sad, sudden, sorrowful death, and the second death. It shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Look at number three there. Number three, the compelling consecration of to responsibility of soul winning. The Lord said unto Peter, Simon Peter, fear not. From now on, henceforth, thou you will catch men. It's a responsibility of soul winning. It tells us in Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Acts 2 37. Now when they had this, they were preached, they were convicted in their hearts, in their conscience, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 38, and he said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness, for the cleansing, for the removal of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 40. In verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself. Rescue yourself. Come out of this untoward generation. Verse 41. In verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, they responded. They didn't react. He said, you crucified Christ. They didn't react. He said, I know, you followed your leaders and you did that which God himself had appointed. But you did that out of your wickedness. They didn't react. They didn't get angry. They were not offended. They responded and they gladly received his word and they were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. In verse 42, and he continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We're coming to point number two. In point number two, we're looking at Christ's confirmed choice of Simon Peter and all subsequent preachers. The call of Simon Peter, the consecration of Simon Peter, the choice of Simon Peter and all subsequent preachers. In John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, reading from verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. And look at three things here. Number one, the personal choice to faithfully follow Christ. The personal choice to faithfully follow Christ. Number two, the powerful choice of fruitful followers of Christ. Number three, the peculiar choice to fearlessly follow Christ. Look at number one. Number one, the personal choice to faithfully follow Christ. In John chapter 6, reading from verse 67, what had happened in this chapter is that Christ gave the message that the Father had given him to give, because he said, I say nothing except as my Father has taught me. And many of the people said, this is an hard saying. There's no entertainment in what he's saying. There is no psychological motivation in what he's saying. There's no tact. And there is no worldly wisdom. He gave it as he ought to give it. For them, it was wrong. And it says, they said, this is not saying, who can bear it? And from that time, many of the people who were looking for fish and bread and water, the people who were looking for material gain. And he said, you follow me, not because you saw the miracle, but because you ate the bread, you're filled up. That's this chapter where he told them. They said, let's go away. We cannot continue. And Christ did not change his message. Why? Because if he changed, they will not be saved. Half gospel will never save anybody fully. Half truth might gather them, and they are all clapping, dancing, rejoicing. Isn't this good? Look at miracle. Isn't this good? Look at healing. Isn't this good? Look at multiplication of bread. At this time of hunger, this is the one we're going to follow. But if all they're looking for is miracle, healing, bread, job, wife, children, and they're not born again, we will not see them in eternity. And we've labored for nothing. We've wasted a time. We've wasted our resources. So they went back. And now Jesus said in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Look at verse 68. In verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Which is strong, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Tell us about repentance. Tell us about the word to eat your flesh and drink your blood. We don't understand the theology of it, but you are the Christ, and we're sure, and we'll follow you. Make illustrations and put us in the illustration. Talk directly to us. Are you also going to get away? We'll not be offended. We'll not react, because we know and we're sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at verse 70. In verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12? Have I not chosen you?" He didn't say 11. He said 12. "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." And yet, even though one became a backslider, a devil, one out of 12, he didn't change the message. He kept on the message that everyone he chose, he wanted them to wholeheartedly and faithfully follow Christ. He didn't say, "There's a difficult time. I heard of a preacher. He preached a message on holiness one Sunday. And during the week, the people were sending messages to him. We didn't come for that in this church. We came, we thought, because the fellow was in deeper life many, many years before. And he went out and started his own ministry. And one day, when he saw that the people were becoming a dull of hearing, and were like this, he woke up. And then he preached holiness firm and strong. During the week, they got to him and they said, "That's what you are going to be emphasizing now. We didn't come for that. If you do that again, we'll tell you, we will leave. And all this one that you saw will scatter." The man became afraid. The following Sunday, went back to them, the same church. The following Sunday, said, "I learned that what I said last Sunday offended quite a number of people." And then he said openly, "I am sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, step on anybody's toes or whatever. I'm using my own words." So he said, "I assure you that will not happen again." Can I do that? Will you do that? See all these people that leave? I'm leaving. We're watching them. And I've been watching, I've been thinking, those who have left, they have left. What are they doing now? Those who are firm, those who are serious, those who are, when they were here, those who will always say, "Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." And they thought they were strong enough to go out and do whatever. I've been watching them and, you know, asking of them. They couldn't stand. You will stand. Yeah. I will stand. Yeah. When we started, the Lord gave me Jude chapter 1, verse 3, that I should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. People may react, people may throw insultive words. People may try to distract, but all these things do not move me. I still will earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Anybody who wants to react, "By the way, I got saved before I knew any of the people today that might be reacting. I got sanctified, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I got the calling, a compelling call, earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Any man, any woman rising up yesterday, coming on yesterday, trying to confront me How can I allow a man, a woman who was not even born, or born again, when I received the call, I allow them now to come to me and shift me and dribble me and take the word out of my mouth? By the grace of God, it will not happen. And the same attitude you have, that when you got saved all alone by yourself. Sanctified all alone by yourself. Called to service all alone by yourself. Contending for the faith, once delivered unto the saints. I started that before I knew any of the people here, And now that you had as a man there, honestly contending for the faith, and you came, and the same preaching got you saved, got you sanctified, got you baptized in the Holy Ghost, and got you into the service of the Lord. Now you want to turn around and push me away from honestly contending for the faith. If I am pushed away, it means I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the consecration. I didn't have the decision to bear and to endure persecution. But I need to announce to you, I have the heart to endure any persecution for what I believe. And I'm going to stand. I pray you will stand too. No matter how close you are to me, no matter how intimate you are to me, no matter how familiar you are to me, there's one thing I will not let go. I will not let my conviction go. You can put your head on the ground and put your feet dangling in the air. I'll see you and smile. That will not change my conviction. Might make all the noise you want to make and crack that and crash that and knock that. I'll hear you. I'll know what you're looking for is to take my conviction away. It will not happen. And the same thing I pass on to you, that nobody will take your conviction away in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has chosen us, and he chooses us to remain firm and to remain solid and steadfast in the work of the Lord. And we will not backslide in Jesus' name. Amen. Personally, he has chosen us. I want to faithfully follow Christ. Look at number two here. Number two, the powerful choice of fruitful followers of Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15, and I'm reading from verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Our fruit will remain. It's Christ that will make the fruit remain. It's not maneuvering. It's not playing pranks. It's not watering down the message. It is not compromising. It is not stopping preaching sound doctrine that will make a fruit remain. It is not the people that are scattered here and there, and they are trying to evangelize deep and light with this method and that method. It's not them that will make a fruit remain or make a fruit depart. It is Christ himself that will make your fruit remain. Give me a good amen. Amen. Because the choice he has made is a powerful choice. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We're looking at number three here. Number three, the peculiar choice to fearlessly follow Christ. The peculiar choice. When he chose us, he intended that we will follow Christ fearlessly, without fear, without favor, without cringing, without compromising. The peculiar choice to fearlessly follow Christ. We're looking at Galatians chapter 1, reading from verse 15. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not of flesh and blood. What does that mean? I conferred not of flesh and blood. Number one, his own flesh, his own blood. The people who had the same family leanings. He said, I didn't go to them. The Lord is calling me, and he wants me to preach the gospel boldly, fearlessly. What do you think? I think we should cut out that kind of word from our mouth. The Lord is calling me to do this. The Lord is sending me to go here. The Lord is telling me to preach this way. What do you think? Cut that off. What they think will not matter. I said, what they think will not matter. His own relatives. I didn't myself, I didn't have to go to anybody. Even those who are, you know, who joined themselves to me and they wanted to impose themselves on me, I didn't allow that, to allow anyone to impose their own ignorance on me, their own compromise on me, their own fearfulness on me. And the same thing, if you're going to allow Jesus Christ to be revealed through you, you're not going to allow somebody who's one leg in the world and one leg in the church, and then because there's one leg in the world, he hears what the worldly people are thinking, they're saying even about you. And because you don't have any leg in the world, you have all your 2 feet in Christ. You see, you will not know this because, you know, you are not like us. You have one leg there, one leg here. But we know what the people are thinking. I say, who are the people? Are they sick people? Are they sanctified people? Are they committed people? Are they consecrated people? Are they spirit-filled people? Are they heavenly-minded people? Well, not right. Then don't tell me what they think. Because what they think will not matter to me. The same attitude you have, fearlessly and boldly declare the word of God. Whatever they say, cut that out of your vocabulary. He says, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Amen. Amen, amen for you. I pray the same conviction and the same backbone and the same uncompromising spirit the Lord has given me, he'll give it to you in Jesus' name. You know, if you are close to me for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 10 years, for 20 years, it should rub on you. That firmness will rub on you. That fearlessness will rub on you. And if you are called by the name, a pastor, a leader, whether a man or a woman, in deeper life, you should have the same spirit and have the same heart that you want to faithfully and fearlessly follow Christ every moment in whatever situation, in Jesus' name. I cannot tell you all that are faced from religious people. I cannot tell you. All that are faced from my extended family. They've let me alone now. But now, in the earlier years, terrible, terrible. Every time, every December, they want to have a family meeting. And they called everybody. And those people, they have intimidating stature. But I always had retreat every December. And then when we were there, they'll be asking, where is he? Where is he? And they'll stand somebody up that they thought should have compelled me to be there. And they will talk to that person, lash that person, and, you know, and later the person will talk to me and say, I'm facing trouble because of you. I say, you know what? Don't face the trouble in vain. Get born again so that you'll know the, you know, aftermath of what you are facing. If I did that long ago, I'll keep on doing that. Nobody will shut me up. Nobody will drive me away. And no reaction from there. I'm your teacher, I'm your leader. No reaction from there will shut me up in Jesus' name. I conferred not with flesh and blood. Fearlessly will keep on declaring the full gospel. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, we're looking at Christ's comprehensive commission for Simon Peter and all the saved, sanctified people. We're looking at John chapter 21, reading from verse 15. John chapter 21, reading from verse 15. So, when they are dying, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know this story. They had caught a lot of fish. This was after the resurrection of Jesus. And Peter had said to the disciples, I go a fishing. And then quite a number of them, seven altogether, they left and they went for the net they had dropped many years, some years before. And that night they caught nothing as it was at the beginning. And Christ now came and said, children, have you any bread? Have you any bread? They said, no. He said, cast your net there. And they cast their net there and they caught a lot of fish. They even counted them. And one of them said, that's Jesus. He's come with a miracle again. That's Jesus. When he comes in your life, he'll come with miracle. He'll come with power. And they quickly gathered that and came to him and said, come and dine. They didn't ask where he got the fish that he had prepared and they ate after the eating. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he recommissioned him again. He says unto him, feed my lambs. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, he said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. verse 17. In verse 17, he saith unto him that third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Christ's comprehensive commission for Simon Peter and all his saved, sanctified people. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the unchanging concern that we truly follow Christ. Number two, the undeniable command that we totally follow Christ. Number three, the unceasing clarion call to teachable followers of Christ. Look at number one. Number one, the unchanging concern that we truly follow Christ. That we truly, truly follow Christ. John chapter 8, verse 12. This is what it means to truly, wholeheartedly, honestly follow Christ. Then speak Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, shall not walk in secrecy, shall not walk with a secret agenda, openly, outwardly. He says, that's my agenda. I'm here to follow Christ. I'm here to walk in the light. I'm here to do good. But secretly, internally, hidden, is carrying on another agenda. No. Whosoever is going to follow what he has inside must match with what he has on the outside. What he thinks must match with what he says. And what he receives must match with what he gives out. Here Christ said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Verse 31. In verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Let's look at number two here. Number two, the undeniable command that we totally follow Christ. That we totally follow Christ. Matthew chapter 28, reading there from verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. In verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now understand, he didn't say just teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Somebody can teach and not observe. Teach and not do. Teach and not practice. Teach and not demonstrate. He didn't say teaching them all I've commanded you without their own doing it. If we're following the Lord, we must observe, we must do, we must practice as he has taught, teaching them to observe, to do, to practice all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You need another amen there.
Amen.
That means all the doctrines of Christ, everything he taught, we are to observe, we are to do, we are to practice cheerfully, wholeheartedly, happily. We are to do that thoroughly until the end of the world. He will be with us. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. While you are teaching, while you are doing everything he commanded, no evil will come upon you. While I am teaching the congregation to observe all things that Christ has commanded, I know he will be with me. He will not leave me. He will not abandon me to the hands of those who want to use my life, throw me away like they use the sardine and then throw the can away. Nobody will do like that to me. Nobody will do like that to you. All I need to do is to be faithful to him. All you need to do is to be faithful to him, teaching the congregation, teaching everyone to do, to observe, to practice all that Christ has commanded. And nobody will do you harm. And nobody will do me harm. And nobody will cut short my life. You say, Pastor, do you know some science? I said, I think I do. Do you know that stress and distress can cut short lives? Yes, I know. Don't you think that if you keep on doing what you are doing, saying what you are saying, preaching what you are preaching, and don't you think if people don't like it, and they react, and they put pressure on you, don't you think it will give you stress and distress and so cut short your life? I say, no, it cannot shorten my life. How can obedience to God, total, absolute surrender to God, how can that give me stress? Where will Christ be if he will allow a man of yesterday, a woman of yesterday, to so give me distress that I'll live a shorter life? It cannot be. The stress of the world, the distress of the world cannot cancel the promise of the Lord. With salvation will I satisfy him, and I will show him, I will give him long life. I got it. I got it. I got it. No stress. No distress. No contradiction of men or women will so affect my life and affect my health and cut my life short. He has a covenant with me. I have a covenant with him. Stress, whatever. Distress, whatever. I say no to all of them. How about you? I say, how about you? Faithfulness to God cannot cut short our lives. Faithfulness to God can only prolong our lives. In the lion's den, in Nebuchadnezzar's furnace, our lives will still be preserved in Jesus' name. And so we have the undeniable command that we totally, trustfully, wholeheartedly follow him until the end of the world. Look at number three. Number three, the unceasing clarion call to teachable followers of Christ. Those who are teachable and those who know Christ has spoken, and so I must do. Christ has spoken, and so you must do. He gives us the clarion call again, and he says, this is what to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading here from verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. You will do it. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove. That's our responsibility. Rebuke. That's our responsibility. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll be reacting to sound doctrine. They'll be believing sound doctrine. They'll prefer entertainment to sound doctrine. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In verse 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But even then, verse 5, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure stress. Endure distress. Endure persecution. Endure the contradiction of sinners or backsliders against your calling. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You make full proof of your ministry in Jesus' name. All the grace you need to endure and to stand and to be steadfast, all the grace you need, he will give unto you in Jesus' name. All the power to endure, the power to persevere, all the gifts you need to stay firm and stand firm in your calling, the Lord grant it to everyone in Jesus' name. You will be fruitful. I will be fruitful. The first branch of fruitfulness is that those who are inside, but they're not picking up, they're not running, they're not doing what they ought to do, they are reacting, they are staying back home, and they shall come. The first fruitfulness you have is to find somebody who should have been at the leaders' meeting here, at the headquarters, there in the region, there in the state, anywhere, everywhere. The first area of fruitfulness, find them, touch them, plead with them, persuade them, let them come. And then the next area of fruitfulness, those who are workers, you get near them, you develop them so that they can be more effective soul winners, and they can bring people into the kingdom of God. And then the next area of fruitfulness, their neighbors who are not born again, their relatives who are not born again, instead of they influencing you to the ways of the world, that you will influence them to the way of the Lord, and your fruit in every area will multiply in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And amen. Amen. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. He wants you fruitful. He wants you to bear fruit. He doesn't want you reacting to preaching, reacting to prayer. He doesn't want you showing any worldly attitude, reacting. He wants you to respond positively, practically, so that you will be who the Lord is calling you to be. Tell the Lord, oh Lord, here I am. I need to respond to the call that you have given. Lord, help me. Whatever you expect in the call, whatever you expect of me, as you call me, help me to respond appropriately. There are things you need to forsake, that Peter, Andrew, James, John, they forsook all and they followed him. There are things you need to forsake, like Matthew, Levi, forsook all and he followed him. Things that were gain unto me. Things, material things. Gainful, profitable things. What he caught, what he got. He left all. Have you left anything? When you were born again, did you leave anything? Sin partners? Did you leave anything? The gain of the world? Did you leave anything? Merchandise? Over time. Did you leave anything? The things that were pleasurable. Did you leave anything? The things that were gain unto me. Those I now count loss for Christ. Do you still leave them? Or have they creeped back into your life? Have you allowed them back into your life? The insincerity you left when you came to Christ. The hypocrisy you left when you came to Christ. The secrecy you left when you came to Christ. Do you still leave them? Or they have crept back into your life? The drive for material things. Go, go, go. Get. That you left when you came to Christ. Do you still leave them today? Your talkativeness, talk. That you don't have chance to meditate on the word of God. No new consecration. Even the old consecration is being eroded. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely, fully give. Chaff. Useless things of the world that you left. Do you still leave them? Or do you find the consecration of the earlier years now difficult? The fear of the world you left. Are you still free from the fear of the world? The friendship of the world that you left. Whosoever be the friend of the world is an enemy of God. The friendship of the world that you left. Do you still keep them far away from you? The attitude of the world. That you hate their teachers. In the schools of the world. Have you left that? Or do you hate the teacher of the word? We used to run away from school. When we were in the world, we didn't know the value of education. We left that long ago. Are you running away from the school of Christ? You can't come, you won't come, they won't come, and you will not impress on them to come. That's all the world. To run away from school. To be following after material gain. And so abandon the call of Christ. Is he reconfirming the call in your life? Will you also go away? Are there things you consider that will make you go away from the service of the Lord, from the work of the Lord, from total commitment unto the Lord? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life. Can you recommit your life to the Lord? Reconfirm your life to the Lord? Can you confess and forsake the indiscipline that is creeping back into your life, the childishness creeping back into your life? Using the little you know to push away the concrete teaching of the word of God. Can you lay everything on the altar? Lord, rebuke me, I accept. Reprove me, I accept. Smite me, I accept. Drill the word into my heart, I accept. Can you tell the Lord? And if he will ask you that same question, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? More than profit? More than pleasure? More than gain? More than material gain? Lovest thou me more than these? Can you respond? Lord, you know all things. You know my heart. I love you. Then show it. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And don't feed them with watered down gospel. Feed them with the word of repentance, the word of righteousness, the word of responsibility to soul winning. Be faithful till the end. Be faithful in persecution. Be faithful until death, and the Lord will give you the crown of life. Bind the consecration upon the horns of the altar. Tell the Lord, nothing and no one will drive you away from the post of duty. If Satan can energize somebody to have greater strength, mightier strength, to push you away from your post of duty, if Satan can so energize them, can't the Holy Spirit energize you more, that as they push and push, you will stand firm and firmer? Ask him to give you the strength and the power of the Spirit of God, that no matter whatever betides, you'll keep on standing. He'll help you. He helped Paul. He helped Peter. And he's been helping all the subsequent preachers and pioneers. He'll help you. Be teachable, be teachable, be teachable. Unteachable people are unusable. Unteachable people are unusable. Unteachable people are unprofitable. Be teachable. tell the Lord to knock off the headiness, the stubbornness, the stony heart. Tell the Lord, knock it off. Take it off. Approach it. So I become teachable. Only then can I be useful and usable. In Jesus' name we pray. Headquarters, amen. The Lord's hand be upon you. And everything that will make you unreachable, unteachable, unusable by heaven, the Lord take that away from your life in Jesus' name. Father, with all sincerity and solemnity, we come before you. We hear your call again, your constant call, your compelling call, your convicting call, that we shall follow Christ fully, faithfully, totally. The grace to do that. Every moment of our lives, grant to everyone in Jesus' name. Whatever has crept in our hearts, that we react to the word instead of responding to the word. Take everything away in Jesus' name. Whatever drought, number of fish we catch, Lord, help us to love you more than the drought of fish in Jesus' name. The material things of this world, the pleasurable things of this world, the gainful, profitable things of this world will not take our heart away from your calling in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that same commitment that people in Bible days, like Moses, like Ruth, like Peter, like Paul, like all the believers, with all the loss they had, they still followed you faithfully and fully and totally. Grant us that same commitment in Jesus' name. This attitude of the world, that in their traditional churches, if the preacher brings in being born again, that they are not used to, that they vote him out and they try to employ, engage another preacher. Or maybe somebody did not know about holiness sanctification. He brings that in, and they don't want to accept, and they vote him out, shout him out. This attitude of the world, that a preacher just knowing about being baptized in the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, the preacher knows that, experiences that, and then he comes to the church. The attitude of the worldly church, of the carnal church, that will say, our denomination does not believe that. So if you've got that tongue-speaking religion, we cast you out. I pray that kind of spirit will not enter into any of us here in Jesus' name. The spirit that stands steadfast, abiding in the truth. Honestly, passionately, courageously, faithfully, cheerfully, happily, purposefully, contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Grant unto every one of us in Jesus' name. Nobody will make us afraid of contending for the faith. No supporter will say to us, wanted to support you, expand your ministry, prolong your ministry, help your ministry. But since you are so persistent about contending for the faith, we'll leave you to yourself. Do whatever you can do by yourself. None of them will silence us in Jesus' name. We will not make a god of any man, make a god of any woman. This God of heaven will be our God. Christ will be our Lord. And what he sends us to do, we'll keep on doing until the end in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you because you have helped me, but I cannot rest and take anything for granted. Grant me more strength. Grant me more power. Grant me steady conviction. Lord, whoever supports, whoever does not support, help me to keep on standing till the end. And the same I pray for your children, your sons and your daughters in the faith, and our leaders. Grant everyone more strength, more power, more steadfastness, more consistency, that no wind that blows, no fire that burns, no one that contradicts will be able to shift them from the rock of ages on which you have planted every feet in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You have answered our prayer. We will be stronger. We will have a deeper conviction. We'll keep on running and nothing will drive us back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.